Some friends in New Zealand put that together, and I thought that was pretty good. All right. I like the light party at the end. That was a little extension of what maybe happened, but the fact is, there we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of Christmas. We thank you for the joy it is to celebrate together. In the moments we have, Lord, help us to understand the importance of the anticipation of coming of Christ coming again. We thank you in Christ's name, amen. Let's turn all the lights up. That'd be great. You know, we see this story, and it's beautifully depicted by the kids wearing the sheep costumes. And I like the star. That's pretty good. That would be a good role to have. But realize this, is that there are those in our world today and those in our community today, within a matter of miles from this church, that would have never heard the Christmas story. Or whatever they've heard, it's some facsimile of it that they're getting bits and pieces of from television or a comedian or somebody. And how important it is to be able to remind ourselves of the meaning of Christmas. True story, there was a family who had no interest in spiritual things. In fact, they didn't go to church for many, many generations. You'd have to go back in their church before anyone went to church or knew anything. But one of their kids was invited to a Christmas play by one of his friends. And he came back, and his parents asked him, well, what was it about? And here's what he said. Well, he says, well, way back then, they didn't have any Santa Claus. And they had these three skinny guys riding around on camels passing out gifts. And they didn't have any Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, guiding them through the darkness. But they had this cool star that lit up the world. You know, I, for one, with a story and a truth so important, I don't want to leave it to anyone else, but to those who really know the story and have had that truth impact their lives. Because hopefully, we're the ones that have a passion about it. When we read the Gospel of Luke, it's very often the Gospel of Luke is the one that people go to because it's very eloquent about don't be afraid, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will be for all the people. But Luke was writing 2,000 years ago to a group of people who had never heard the message. And he wants to put it in order. He really wants to get it down because he wants people to know what happened. In fact, here's what he says at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, that's Jesus, having handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out to you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things which you've been taught. He's writing to this guy named Theophilus. Theophilus is a name, and it's actually a most excellent. He's probably a governing an official, and the likelihood he's a Greek or Roman governing official. It may explain why in the Gospel of Matthew we have the coming of wise men from afar. We also have in Matthew the destruction of the babies around Bethlehem by Herod. And the Holy Spirit of God had Luke pass over that part. He wants us to focus on what happened that night and what happened right afterwards. So we've been talking about on Sunday mornings the anticipation of Jesus Christ coming again. And we want to briefly talk today about those who anticipated and were ready for his first coming. The first example here we see that Christ is born. The depiction there by the New Zealand kids, we know there were angels, and there were shepherds, and there were kings and wise men. And we have Mary and Joseph, and there was no place in the inn, and Christ was born in a manger stall, a barn, a lean-to, most likely. And so we have that as a picture. But right after that, we see some things that happen that are often not told in the Christmas story, but they happened right after that. Here's what it says. Starting at verse 21. And when 8 days of, this is Luke chapter 2, verse 21. When 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. The days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed. They brought him up to Jerusalem, present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to what that was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. We'll stop there. So we want to look at three different groups of people who they were ready for the coming of Christ, the baby Christ, the Messiah that would come. And the first is an example of the devotion of Mary and Joseph, a devotion that would lead them to a life of dedication, a life of dedication. We can imagine the drama that they went through of getting to Bethlehem. It was a time of a census. They were ordered to be there. And we know that they did not take off to go back to Nazareth straight away. But it says that they waited for Jesus to be circumcised. So there was these three ceremonies that they went through after the birth of Christ. The first was the circumcision of Christ. And at that point, it says, is when Jesus was named. Now, that's in the tradition, the Jewish tradition, that's when a male child was named officially. That was the first ceremony. The next ceremony was a presentation of the firstborn. The history of Israel was this, is that they were in bondage in Egypt thousands of years before. And God delivered them, and one of the final plagues was the loss of the firstborn of Egypt because they weren't covered by the blood of a lamb. The law of Moses said that all of those children, specifically the boys, they belong to the Lord, the firstborn. And the law of Moses said, you need to bring that child to the tabernacle or to the temple, and that child needs to be redeemed. How many of you here are firstborn children? All right, then you're special in a sense. You would have to be brought to the temple, and they would pay a little extra, they would pay a little tithe or pay a little offering, because it was a reminder that that child is from the Lord, a gift from the Lord. Well, it's interesting that the first ceremony was the ceremony of circumcision of Christ, and then they were supposed to wait a period of time where they would bring the child to the temple. Now, since Bethlehem is only about 10 miles away from Jerusalem, they stayed there. But there's another thing, is that the ceremony of the purification, Mary had to wait X number of days after the birth of the child, according to Jewish custom and law, because she would have been ceremonially unclean because of the blood. She had to wait, ultimately, if you add it up, about 40 days. So they figured that Christ was circumcised there. Probably a rabbi would come by and the child would be circumcised probably in the home. And then within 40 days, they would be in the temple. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being held? The parents being obedient. You see, the first step of anticipation, that dedication, this dedication they had, or devotion of waiting, led to dedication. So here's a question I ask even myself. I ask all of us. as we wait for the Lord. There should be this spirit of dedication to His purposes. We shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm not sure I want to do that, you know. It's my life. God's up there, I'm way down here, you know. What has He done for me lately? Well, He's allowed you to breathe, you know. He's forgiven your sins. And the answer is as we wait, our devotion should lead to dedication. I just want to thank the people involved with the worship teams here over the last year. Eric, thank you for your team. A little extra this week. You got all kinds of stuff going on. And boy, what wonderful worship we had. Friends, it doesn't just happen, right? It doesn't just kind of spring out. It's dedication. I want to thank those who have served as Sunday school teachers or people working in the nursery or those who stay around afterwards and lock all the doors and turn the alarms on. It's dedication. And let's remind ourselves that dedication stems from a devotion to a God who loves us. So when you're asked to greet people at the door or be an usher or help out with communion or friends, it's what we do. We're dedicated to the Lord. It's the Lord's work. So there's a first sign that we see here, that devotion in this waiting led to a life of dedication. Now, the next example we want to see is devotion of this older gentleman named Simeon, and that his devotion led to determination. Let's read here, starting at verse 25. And behold, there was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, that he took him, Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, Mary, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Wow. Here's a man who's devotion led to determination. Now, what kind of determination? The determination, hey, I'm going to live until the Messiah comes. Now, the Spirit of God had laid it upon his heart. We're not told when that happened, but we have this kind of sense that it was a long time before. Hey, you're not going to die until you see this happen. We see three things about his remarkable determination. First of all, he had a remarkable anticipation. Verse 25 and 26 again. And there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Now, I want to remind you of a couple historical things. One, Isaiah the prophet wrote, in the year was about 750 or so, 740. That's a long time, about unto us a child will be born, unto us a son is given. That's a long time. Can you imagine 800 years ago, you know, in America? There wasn't much going on in Kelseyville at the time, right? The prophet Malachi wrote probably between 450 and 430 B.C., so that's a 400-year period of time. And we can kind of think there, we can, oh, we kind of know there was, you know, you got pilgrims, you got these guys over and hanging out in New England. That's about it, all right? You had some people kind of hanging out and exploring the Pacific Ocean. That was that. Friends, they were told that the consolation or the hope of Israel, the Messiah would come, and there was a 400-year period of time. And they were waiting. And they were waiting. And they were waiting. And I'm sure someone said, you know what, this God, he must have died because he's waiting so long. That's what they were saying. We must follow some other God. We'll follow Baal. We'll follow Zeus. We'll follow Athena. We'll follow whatever. And maybe you've been tempted to do the same. Ah, this Christ, he's supposed to come, and that'd be great. But I haven't seen it, and he hasn't done much for me lately, so I think I'll worship my TV or my checkbook. Friends, he had a supernatural, remarkable anticipation that Christ would come. I imagine every morning he would wake up and wonder, is this the day? Is this the day? Can you imagine what it was like then? When Mary and Joseph, in their dedication, brought the baby Jesus to the temple? Wow. It's right here. He takes that baby in his arm. Here's the second thing we see. He had a wonderful adoration. A wonderful adoration. Verse 28 says, he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. Lord, I can die now. I've seen it. Doesn't get any better than this. I have seen the salvation of Israel. He's holding the Messiah in his hands. How cool is that? He had a wonderful adoration. Someone said this. Remember, you can all have all the things in the world, but if you do not have Jesus, you won't have really anything. Or you can have Jesus and none of the things in the world and yet still have everything. Question is, what's the one thing that would cause your life to be absolutely fulfilled today? What would it take for you to say, Lord, just like Simeon said, Lord, I have everything I want. Now you can take me home. Friends, for him it was the anticipation. So he had a wonderful adoration, and last, he had a wonderful and a magnificent admission. Verse 30, Simeon says these words, My eyes have seen your salvation. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Friends, today I'm here to tell you that there is a heaven. This world that we live in is just the training ground. It's where things are not meant to be permanent. God has made a permanent place, a home, that Jesus himself says, I go to prepare. Are you ready for that place? Are you ready for that gift? Many people will say, I can get you there. Confucius says, you know, be a wise person, follow these wise sayings. Muhammad may say, here are these tenets from the word, and you can do those things. Buddha will say there's an eightfold path. You'll bring peace for yourself by living this way. The Hindus will say, if you get it wrong this time, you got a million lifetimes to sort it out. I'm going to tell you this morning, God gave you a brain. He gave you a body, a soul, and a spirit. He gave you a will. Do whatever you want. It's your call. But here's what Simeon's saying. I praise God for his salvation. And his salvation is in that Christ child. who would live and die on the cross for our sins. If you think there's a better way, it's your life. But it will be misspent. Because Christ has come, the greatest gift of all. In the year to come, we ought to be like Simeon saying, man, I've experienced salvation already. So we see the devotion of Mary and Joseph. We see the devotion of Simeon. And lastly, we see the devotion of this woman named Anna, or the Hebrew is Hannah. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving there night and day with fasting and prayers. And at the very moment that she came up and began to give thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Wow. She would have known Simeon. They're probably good friends because they're hanging out in the temple all the time. They're of the same generation. Now, she had lived a very difficult life. A couple things about her interest. She's a prophetess. That means that God chose to speak through her. So get over that. God can speak through women. It's right there in the Bible, you know. Throw stones at me. It's right there it is. You know, let's try to figure that one out. All right? It is more, to me, it is more a miracle that God speaks through men. But that's just, you know, that's just, you can talk to me. Don't talk to me later. I wrote a paper on it one day, and it's still pretty accurate, I guess. Friends, this woman had gone through some challenging times. She had all the excitement as a young woman. She got married, and she was married for 7 years, and her husband passed away. And she was led by the Lord, whether she was called in the ministry after that time or not. But she went to the temple, and here's what she did. She would go there with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. You see, her waiting brought about a life of delight. And she says to the people, look, the redemption has come to Jerusalem. The very moment she came up, she began giving thanks to God and continued speaking of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here's what happened. Get the picture. Simeon's there, Mary and Joseph, in their dedication, devotion, come and bring the Christ child, as they should. Simeon, who had been waiting, God said, you got to wait because I got a special thing for you before you die. He's holding the baby Jesus. Anna's there going, oh man, my life's been kind of tough, but I'm praying and fasting for this day. And then she sees this child, and she can't stop but telling people, oh, he's here. Isn't that exciting? That's great. Friends, that's what the Lord has called us to do. We need to have the we can't help it. Seriously. I just can't help but telling people that salvation is here in Christ. And we may not all agree on the exact timing or here's how it's all going to happen in the end times and it's going to happen this way, this way, this way. I'm not trying to make that seem unimportant. But here's the important thing. Do you love Jesus today? Are you anticipating his coming? Do you realize that he is, in fact, not only the salvation of Israel, but the salvation of all who will call upon his name? Whosoever will may come. And that's the story of Christmas. The anticipation of his first coming. I know there were at least four people that were ready. Mary and Joseph, Simeon, and Anna. Are you ready? Are you ready today to step out of this room saying, okay, I may already be a believer, but man, I'm going to live in holy anticipation. You know, I love that old song, O little town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The last stanza says, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. They waited with great anticipation and devotion then, and we wait with great anticipation and devotion now. Let's stand and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, thy silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to man on earth. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell. So come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Merry Christmas. Our Heavenly Father, take us from this place filled with a sense of dedication and devotion, anticipation. Help us, Lord, in our lives to mirror the devotion and anticipation of Mary and Joseph, who lived a life of dedication to your word and obedience, of Simeon, who lived a godly, righteous life as he awaited the day, and then dear Anna, who through many challenges in life, it never robbed her of a spirit of praise. Oh, Lord, help us to live in such ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.